Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land. Leading the way to heaven's bright shore, troublesome waters I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with Bill Johnson and Chris Sardern. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, audience. Good evening, Brother Bill.
Good evening, Bob. And Chris, how are you gentlemen this evening?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. Really glad to be here. I was looking forward to, you know, having church with you guys tonight all day.
Is it capital C or small C?
I was looking forward to having a small C church. Just a gathering of remnant believers. That's where I find my edification.
Anyone who will listen.
Haven't had too much luck with the big C church, with the capital C churches. They haven't, you know, it's funny, I was just reflecting on that today. You know, all the years that I was underneath the false teaching and just struggling, you know, just thinking I was doing the right thing with all this stuff, you know, the accountability groups and the men's groups and all this stuff, you know. The tracking software on the internet, keeping an eye on where you've been, and all the stuff that you
need.
That's
what Solomon was doing in the temple, rearranging the showbread tables.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good. Very good.
It's all flesh because it feeds the flesh. And when it feeds the flesh, but that was something tonight in the pre-show, Bill. I wanted to even ask you a little more about that. We were talking about fear and how fear drives us to fleshly solutions, and it was really profound because it's so true. And what about that, Brother Bill? That from? I mean, I see it, but I
don't. They don't use actually the word fear, but in Genesis chapter 3. But that's the first time that you see a relationship to fear. Or he says, I believe it's in verse 10 here. I'm pulling it up right now. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. So there's your fear. This is what causes man to resort to everything in the flesh. It truly is fear. And I relate this to, as you have in the past, and I believe Matthew 24 maybe, or I'm not sure, maybe it's Revelation. Men will seek death and not find it. I think that's in Revelation. And it's the fear. You get so full of fear that you look for a flesh solution to everything.
You get your gun. You get your preps. You get this. You get that. You want to preserve self-preservation, audience. And it's foretold, this is the army of the north coming against you.
Yep.
Trying to instill fear. And they can do it. They're doing a pretty good job. And in current events, week after week, you know, there's tragedies going on, both natural and man-made. and there's great fear upon the land, but you're told to fear the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, you understand why man is doing this. And you have to look at it that way, because it was foretold. This is prophetic. Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. That was foretold. You know, when God questioned Adam first, he said, well, it was this woman that you gave me, the woman that you sent me. So really, fear of his flesh position there is causing him to put the blame on the woman. This is another thing that fear will do. I often wonder what would happen if Adam would have just repented in the garden, you know.
He'd be forgiven.
Yeah.
Or what if Esau didn't sell his birthright?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, though, they both put the blame. Adam put the blame on Eve, and Eve put the blame on the serpent. And this is because of fear.
I'm just saying Esau, because that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
Who drove him through the fleshly bowl of soup.
I agree.
You know, isn't that something? It is the same pattern.
And you know, it was with Jesus too. They feared if we don't, you know, the Romans will come in and take away everything that we have or destroy us or whatever. And
right. Oh, if they only knew what they were getting themselves into.
Yeah.
And I have talking about this end times church, this latter day church body and the remnant body. And the fact that, you know, we see in Scripture that, you know, the end time witnesses are in sackcloth, you know, in mourning over their people, over the apostasy of their people, and, you know, just standing in the gap, you know, praying that they would be restored. But, you know, this is so contrary to what you see in the house of God today. You see all the hooting and hollering and, you know, praise and worship and you know, calling down glory and it's just a kind of a twisted picture, because you know, you see the true followers of Jesus Christ are in mourning right now, because they know what's coming. They just have this feeling of dread, even though we have hope in, you know, ourselves, but it's still it's just hard to reconcile all that, you know. And I sure struggle with it, because it's, you know, you got to go to Scripture, because it goes against the grain of the religious system out there today.
And it's very difficult, audience, when you're studying your Scriptures and looking at the churches, that you find that this was all foretold, that there will be a great state of apostasy. And that apostasy is so prevalent, it's likened unto just a swarm of locusts. And it's totally blacking out the gospel. It's taking our Lord Jesus Christ and blotting his works out, the works of the cross, the finished works of the cross. And the doctrines of demons, you could say millennial reign is a doctrine of demons. And scripturally, if you're new to the show, you know, that you need to study yourself approved and understand that scripturally that the 1,000 years is, it's a spiritual number. And that there's great white throne judgment time after the little season. And when you see these things, stand in the holy places, stand in the holy place right now. And for all of these locusts out there, you're told in Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And that love, audience, is... It is the love of the heart. And bless them is to thank them for their works. Because they're all doing the will of the Lord, good or bad. And that is that's the forgiveness. You're to do good unto these people. You're to be an example to them. You're to tell them the truth of Scripture. And the problem is that, you know, they're preaching it's us and them, when actually it's the Israel of God, the Israel of our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, and them. And it's a shame that this is happening. This is ashes and sackcloth. Chris?
Amen. Amen. And, you know, something I'm really seeing, as I've been studying the tribulation and the wind of doctrine, and you know, we see the outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh, and you know, the Spirit that entered the house in Acts chapter 2, and you know, we see this Spirit when it's poured out brings everything. You know, it brings truth and understanding to the to God's remnant seed, and it brings tribulation, you know, to the apostate, and every variation in between there. You know, the tribulation is what brings us to repentance, as far as the shaking. This is what Jesus said, you know, that we would have tribulation, but be of good cheer. It says, you know, in John 16, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I'm just really seeing a real distinction between the tribulation and the great tribulation. And it's there. It's definitely there, as far as the the tribulation has been since all through time, you know, but we see the references to it in the New Testament, as the life of the true believer, you know, is going to be tribulation. And a lot of this tribulation comes, it's the wind. The Lord always refers to it as the wind from the four corners of the earth, and who it comes upon. And I just, in that simple verse in Timothy about, in the end times, they will believe every wind of doctrine. Or no, I think that's in Hebrews, isn't it? Where does it say wind of doctrine? But it doesn't matter. I don't have my. I'm just kind of paraphrasing.
It's a proper rendering.
But you know, they will not toss to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And you know, you see the reference to the wind of doctrine is the wind, and it's the tribulation. This is part of the tribulation, is the turmoil that this false doctrine causes. You know, and
right.
It blows the weed over. Excellent.
It's in Ephesians chapter 4:14, and it's done by. Actually, the verse is very interesting. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro,
right,
and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive. Now I'm going to tell you who does not do this. It's the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 14. It says there's no guile in their mouth.
Uh-huh.
Everything that it's speaking here about this false doctrine is all in the definition of what guile is. It's a cunning craftiness to deceive, and the true remnant, 144,000, the true remnant believers that are come speaking the truth against the lie, they don't have any of, there's no deception in their mouth. There's no guile in their mouth.
And also to mention this and interject that the 144,000, the multitude, the seed of God, the wheat, the barley harvest, likened unto examples of, are spiritual and individual. You are the holy temple of the Lord. You, audience. And this is sobering. But when you put it on a flesh level and you have somebody saying that there are the 144,000 and it's a Jehovah's Witnesses, is that correct?
Well, yeah, they have their own version of it.
Their own version of a very spiritual recognition of a wheat. The
really,
this part of the wheat.
Yeah, yes. The 144,000, first of all, they're not defiled by women. That's Mystery Babylon. The Mystery Babylon is, I guess, could you say it's sin in your heart on an individual layer? they're not defiled by women. On a large layer, we see that as not being involved in the harlot Babylon system. But if someone's coming to you, preaching you the gospel, whether it be the milk or the meat or everything, and they're preaching you the true gospel, and they have no intentions of deceiving you, and no deceit comes out of their mouth, no craft is coming out of their mouth.
DVDs, Bill? Selling DVDs?
Yeah. that person is speaking to you with no guile. So, that could be just an individual speaking to you one on one that, you know, they have no, should
good
I say,
intentions.
Their intentions is to point you to Jesus only. They're not trying to set a trap for you, and they're not trying to set a snare for your feet, because they have no guile in their mouth.
No stumbling blocks. Metaphorically, this is foretold through scripture, audience. That the great apostasy is upon the land, whether it be pre-tribulation rapture, any of the doctrines of demons that are being preached. If they're not preaching Jesus Christ, Him crucified, finished works of the cross, it's foolishness to them, and that's scriptural, because they won't understand this. Scriptures tell a story of what you're to do in your generation, who you are in your generation, and it was foretold. The prophets are teaching now that taught in the Old Testament. Well, this is foretold. And in this generation, you're seeing these signs in your apostate churches of the great falling away, and the strong delusion is brought on by the Lord for His purpose. It is only the Lord that knows the heart. You can't point fingers. That love them and forgive them is good news for you, audience.
You know, what you were reading there in scripture in John chapter 5 was like an image of what Stephen was doing. He loved them. He gave them the whole history of Israel, which the church, you know, the heads, elders of the church there, they didn't even know the Bible. So through the love of Stephen, he was giving them a whole history from Abraham forward. And, you know, and then obviously when they had cast him out and stoned him and everything, he was still loving those people. And so,
audience, you go to Matthew 3:3. For this is he that's spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And his paths, audience, when you're looking at it scripturally, that's the Holy Spirit clearing your way. You are the holy temple of the Lord. And man is trying to deceive in every way the Lord. Actually, not you. They want your money. You know, there's the demons out there who want your soul. When you look at this, you're armed in the spirit. You're understanding you cannot be deceived by these apostate teachings. You will not fall into pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. Which, by the way, this week, another failure. How many people fell away from that? But it's the paths, audience. The path is to go to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this path and paths, this is a rut or a worn track. You are to go to Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will reveal this. And through his gospel, it's, you know, read the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit confirm this. Because they have changed the ordinances and they've changed doctrines, and in this generation they take evil for good. We were going to go to current events and talk about this war in Libya as a perfect example of just the unrelenting brutalness upon the face of the earth. Chris?
Yeah, I wanted to spend a little more time on that tribulation that I was seeing there. I just had a little bit more to add to that when I was talking about the...
Well, let's just skip current events. Go ahead. That's audience, current events are all bad.
It's just I was just seeing some stuff here because it's you know, it's been it's been perplexing, you know, as far as what we have been taught about the Great Tribulation and all the physical attributes, but we also know that it will be just as in the days of Noah. You know, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark. And you know, I've just had some really good understanding with the, you know, they knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Well, these are all metaphors, like the flood. You know, the Lord said that just as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. But he also promised he would never destroy the earth with a flood again. So what's up with that? Well, you know, it's obvious to me now. I mean, and I've seen this, and I've gotten a hold of this a while back. But it's just the pieces of the puzzle really fit together when, you know, the flood is associated with the deception, which is the tribulation, the wind of doctrine, every wind of doctrine is really the heart of the tribulation. It's the tribulation of deception that sweeps the land. And as far as where we are in this whole thing, you know, it's hard to argue the fact that we're not smack in the middle of it. And you know, there's we struggle with the times of the in scripture of the 3.5 years, the 42 months. Is that just the ultimate final manifestation? But if it's so obviously you know, bad as far as the flesh goes, the world goes, why would people be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage? They'd be, you know, hiding in their bug-out shelters, you know, or whatever. So there's always been something wrong there, you know, with the scripture. But we do see that immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And, you know, we clearly see the manifestation of that verse, Matthew 24:29, as well as many other accounts of this, when the sun is darkened by the fact that the true gospel message is gone, you know. And, you know, I'm reading out of Matthew 24. You know, this is what we first started our Watchman Weekly studies on, you know, a year ago, more than a year ago. And here I'm going back to it, you know, just with the Lord's opening up some stuff to me. And, you know, I know he has to you guys too, but, you know, it's all woe to those, you know, the pretext of what I'm reading is, you know, the things like, woe to them that give suck, you know, the ones that are still on the milk of scripture, you know, facing the times of tribulation without, you know, studying to show yourself approved, you know, not a good thing.
And you know? Let me just interject real quick before you lose your train of thought, Chris. That woe to you that give suck, audience. It's not a woman related to a baby. It's not a fleshly understanding. It's man or woman that is on the milk of Scripture, that is in the apostate teaching or doctrines of demons. And a proper rendering is that if you've witnessed pre-tribulation rapture on a global basis and two predictions made in the past year are all wrong, okay, that is, the people that followed that doctrine did not study themselves approved. They did not repent of their sins. They did not enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit did not witness to them the gospel of the proper rendering of Scripture. And it's likened unto a plague of locusts darkening out the sun on another level that Chris was just talking about. It's multi-layered, blueprinted in terms of the proper rendering of scripture. And Bill, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
And you know, I just see the description of the tribulation, and if it's what we've been taught by the Left Behind books, how would people be sitting there, you know, eating and drinking while all that was going on? Well, they wouldn't be, because the thing would, the point I'm making here, and it's just absolutely clear to me that the tribulation is the deception. And that's the tribulation that, the earth dwellers, which are the ones that Bill was just talking about, as far as the 144,000 are the ones who are, they're redeemed from the earth. You know, they have no guile in their mouth, and they're not part of the harlot system, which is exactly what the mark of the beast is, which is exactly where the 144,000 are accounted for in scripture, right after the account of the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast are the ones who are, you know, letting their fear drive them to the flesh, to the fleshly system for answers, the bowl of soup, you know, for their birthright. You know, they're exchanging their birthright as a spiritual covenant people with the living God, and in exchange for a fleshly life that they're basically, you know, letting their own will control their lives. This is the tribulation, and the tribulation is following every wind of doctrine. And, you know, in the context of Matthew 24, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. And I believe that's talking about deception. And except those days be shortened, you know, no flesh will be saved. But for the election, you know, sake, those days shall be shortened. And, you know, I see that as the deception would get so great, you know, that if the Lord didn't save, you know, didn't shorten the days of this deception. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, it's getting really bad. I mean, it's really, really bad, the deception out there. You've got to have your discernment so finely tuned. You've got to be walking with the Lord these days so closely, or you are going to get mowed down by this flood of deception, which is, you know, right where all this, you know, Matthew 24:24, then shall rise false Christs and false prophets showing signs and wonders. This is in the tribulation. You know, this is when this happens. You know, we're not talking about, you know, Planet X and Nibiru, you know, hitting the earth and that kind of thing. I mean, this is talking about, you know, when you hear about he is in the desert and when he's in the secret chambers. You know, this is stuff that we've seen with, you know, going to this esoteric, you know, teaching, the secret knowledge type stuff. You know, we liken that to the behold when he is in the secret chambers. You know, there's so much of that out there right now, deception that we can get sucked into, you know, and the lightning comes out of the east and shineth even unto the west. You know, this is the truth that is, you know, the truth of Jesus Christ that is, you know, invading this world. And then what did we put out last week? You know, we put out this email. I get these emails from the Elijah list. I keep an eye on what they're doing. And right now in Texas, there's a convention, a Christian convention, and it's billed the Gathering of Eagles. It's the Gathering of Eagles Summit. And, you know, this is an absolute in-our-face manifestation of Matthew 24:28, for wherever the carcass is, this is where the eagles will be gathered. You know, and the carcasses are the people that are going to be in this convention. You know, these are the dead bodies lying in the streets of Sodom and Egypt. This is all playing out right now before our eyes. You know, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, and this is after this. So this is already, you know, this thing's already well on its way, because the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven. The sun is this the true gospel message, you know, that is darkened. And the moon is the church not reflecting the light of the true gospel. And the stars, you know, it's so obvious the stars are the people. You know, Abraham's seed is numbered as the stars in the sky. and they fall. This is the falling away, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. But, you know, all this is happening at the same time as people are sitting and eating and drinking and giving in marriage. So what's up with that? Well, I submit to you that, you know, this tribulation is raging right now, and it's a deception, and it's, you know, and it's time to not mess around anymore with, you know, putting anything off, anything that you're holding on to, fleshly, worldly.
Bill?
Got to get rid of it.
Yeah, when you were speaking there about the stars falling and the we see the gospel as possibly being a restrainer. That's when the transgressors have come to the full, as
yeah.
Daniel says in Daniel chapter 8. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, so they've fully transgressed the covenant. They've just fully destroyed the covenant. A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. So Cain is going to rise up. It's right there. When there's no gospel left for nothing, you're going to be left with nothing but a king of fierce countenance. And, you know, that's what you were just reading about the eagle summon. And it said, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Now, verse 25 is really huge here. And though his policy also, he shall curse craft to prosper in his hand, and shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace, shall destroy many.
Yes.
He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. That's, you know, capital P right there, prince of princes, is Jesus Christ. But he shall be broken without hand. And then, and the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Where shalt thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days after I rose up. I believe Daniel's speaking about right now. These people are using all the craft possible to prosper. That's what they're doing. They're manipulating for power and control, for, you know, through self-will and self-exaltation. And that's the opposite of having no guile in your mouth.
It's the opposite of Jesus. It's the opposite.
Yeah, it's the opposite of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the easiest way to proper rendering of our generation is, well, they went to the seminaries, and they taught doctrines of demons to the new teachers, and the new teachers kind of liked it, and they wanted a McMansion, and they started competing in the flesh for being serpents to beguile all of their flocks. They were the idle shepherd, and all those flocks gathered and have been gathering for such a time as we don't know. But they're here, and they're preaching doctrines of demons in the church.
Yeah, they're cunning artificers of lies with treacherous, deceitful intention. This is what guile is. All of those words on that Elijah list were guile. Was it the Elijah list you were reading there, Chris?
Yeah, it sure was.
That's all guile.
And this is told 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Well, we'll go over some of this, but the adversaries audience is those that lie in opposite to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and those that preach anything other. And they're likened unto in our generation as locusts. So it's not like 30, 40 years ago there was this big army of locusts about. There was the gospel. The gospel was there, and now it's not. Very few see this.
And what do you do in a time like this? You do what Matthew 24:44-45 says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in much an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? So there we are. You know, I mean, what can we do? You know, just rule over your household and feed your family. You know, be the spiritual leader of your household. You know, feed them the meat of Scripture in due season, and pray that you're counted worthy. You know, yeah. And that can extend past your own household, but to your people of influence in your life. You know, that you have an influence on. You know, share the truth that the Lord is giving you. This is what we do. This is what we stand. This is where we stand on the truth. We have our loins girded with truth. You know, this is the lightning I talked about earlier, spreading it from the east to the west. Because at this time of gross darkness, the lightning is shining, and the lightning is, you know, going forth, and it's causing this tribulation because it's the wind of doctrine coming against the truth, which is causing this shaking, this storm, and we're in it.
Prepare ye the way for our Lord Jesus Christ. And Chris so succinctly put it in terms of tribulation on one level, is that no sign will be given to this generation.
Jonah, yeah. What's the sign of Jonah? Preaching the truth. Jonah preaching repentance to his to Nineveh. You know, that's the sign that the wicked and adulterous generation gets today. Just those voices in the wilderness proclaiming the truth.
And you individually, audience, you are likened unto being prepared in the belly of a whale for your own tribulations to come to the truth that you're studying yourself approved, that you've entered into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about not being able to believe it. I mean, this makes a grown man cry. When you
Bill was just talking about do. The king of fierce countenance, what does he do? He corrupts the covenant with flatteries. And what was the other word that you used there, Bill? And I know it in Daniel, that he destroys marvelously, or what does it say? He destroys wonderfully, or something.
Yeah, wonderfully,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is just this.
And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice. This is one of the very few times you'll see the word practice, and I think it's only a few times in the King James Bible. And shall destroy the mighty and the holy people.
And he does it the exact same way that Jesus Christ built up the true body with the truth, the true gospel. The way that he was in the temple. In the temple made not with human hands, the temple made with lively stones, with Jesus the chief cornerstone. This is the temple that Jesus used to inhabit, but now, you know, it's been replaced with this Antichrist, another Christ spirit. And that's why the king of fierce countenance, that man of sin, that son of perdition, seated in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. I mean, this is the spirit of Antichrist that is in the temple right now.
And you're told.
You could say on a world political layer, join with the church, it's the spirit of democracy.
Yeah.
And that's the corner church, the Church of Islam, the Pope's church.
See, the thing is, the church now, and I've said many times, I've said this in some of my breakout studies, the church is in pretty much full agreement with the world now.
Yeah.
She's just trying, you know, she's trying to hang on to the back of this king of fierce countenance now.
Yeah. And it's the image of the beast. This is they're worshiping the image of the beast, which is this image of Jesus Christ that they have created in their minds.
Yes, it's an image of Jesus. Absolutely.
It's the image of the beast.
It's an image of Jesus that they've created through their imagination.
Right,
through fear, it has caused this,
and their emotions and their adrenaline, and which is what these false prophets are playing on today, you know, which is really likened to that causing craft to prosper. You know, this is this witchcraft that it's out there. You know, this is huge, and this is basically running, you know, the signs and wonder leg of the apostate church. And then there's the other leg of the apostate church is just being run on self-help psychology. And, you know, this is what's prepared the way for this dumbing down of the, you know, keeping, you know, woe to them that give suck, you know, ones that forbid meat, the false shepherds that have, you know, kept their flock on, you know,
DVDs. They've kept their flock on DVD sales.
Yeah, that feed the flesh, right, Bob? And that's what it does. It always feeds the flesh, not the spirit. And then that fear comes in. Feeds the flesh, feeds the fear. Fear feeds the flesh feeds the fear. And it's just a never-ending addictive cycle.
It's self-perpetuating.
Yeah.
And when you look at it scripturally, audience, we're going to do, and this will be a multi-show study, Revelations 11. And preparing for that in our pre-show, we much recollection of scripture is associated with this. So it'll be a timely study.
Mm-hmm. It's a playbook. It's our playbook for today.
And to explain it in terms of just very simple, proper preparation for this, Matthew 13:11, and he answered it and he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, audience, the people that are in the apostasy, the great falling away, that don't recognize the diminishment of our Lord Jesus Christ on the world, the diminishment of his gospel, they are likened unto being blind and not hearing, and they know it not. They have no idea that this is upon the land. They are not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, and preaching Jesus Christ, him crucified, to people is foolishness. But to you it is given. There's much given. This is good news from our Lord Jesus Christ to understand his gospel, to do his will. You are likened unto, whether you're a man or a woman, you're likened unto a prostitute. You are a sinner. You just, man can't get around it from Adam to everyone that exists. But you're told to sin no more and go. And there's no proper, better rendering of that as to do exactly that. Prepare ye the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when we find out in Revelation 1:11, you know, it's a terrible story. It's a terrible story of our generation happening fleshly.
Well, when it's time, it's time. When it's time for your test, for your evaluation, it's time. And that's what Revelation 11:1 says.
Be a lively stone, a stone not overturned. Built into the wall of our Lord Jesus Christ on the foundation, his foundation, not your foundation. Many people out here are going to hear the term, you know, I knew you not. Many people are going to be surprised. This is the strange act is that no sign will be given. They think this is all good, everything that's going on there. It's good that Libya got toppled and the whole of that country is absolutely destroyed for profit and money and nothing else. Anywhere. War is never good. It's all for the money change of profit and money we have in the United States, people sitting on Wall Street. They call them the 99%. Well, if you flip
that. Yeah, they actually, you know, coined a term many decades past. I probably came in, I think, after World War II, that war is good for the economy. I mean, they're either taking an absolute, complete lie, and people would go around and start repeating that. And, you know, I heard a lot of people saying that. Many years ago, I would heard people say that. You know, it's just an absolute lie. War is not good for anything.
And it's likened to a simple analogy. You're watching Jerry Springer in the world.
That's true. That's what it is, Jerry Springer. Yeah,
it's staged. Some parts aren't. Some parts are. It's the first reality show. But you're watching it, and none of the players are good. None of them. And you have the discernment to study yourself approved and look and seek our Lord Jesus Christ and no man to teach you this. It's all bad in terms of this generation. When you begin with Revelation 11:1, this is the Apostle John. This was a dear to our Lord Jesus Christ's heart. He entrusted his mother to him to take care of his mother.
That's true.
And he endured all the apostles' martyrdom. These were his pals. They loved each other like a love of a child. Endeared with the Holy Spirit. There is no metaphors for love thy brethren with these guys. That was it. They were with the Lord.
Amen.
They are the lively stones built into the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ audience. And though we do a prophetic Old Testament spiritual rendering, proper renderings to the New Testament, this is very sober ground to go into Revelations. Very few times am I led to go to Revelations on a study basis. Bill?
Yeah, this is a very key chapter here, and we probably get through three or four verses of it tonight. And, I think you gentlemen are getting more clarity on this than I am. But this has always been kind of a chapter that I know that I've always felt that if I could put this chapter together, it would answer a lot of the missing pieces of the puzzle.
Chris?
Yeah, and that's what happened. You know, Bill told me that a while back, and you know, I just basically felt challenged by that, and I agreed with him. And so I just really started digging in there, and I just basically studied. You know, just and it is tricky, and we don't have it figured out. You know, we've got it figured out on through to the first four or five verses, six verses, but it gets real tricky because the identities flip-flop so much. You know, the identities are always flip-flopping, you know, in Scripture, and it's really what it means to rightly divide the word of truth, because you're not dividing truth because there's only one truth. And it was funny, I was showing a friend the other day about some studying the, you know, Scripture, and I put Esort on her computer for her, and I said, here, truth is always singular, and I typed in truth, and it just, you know, all the words, all the times the word truth is listed in Scripture, and then I typed in the word truth, I put an S on it, and I clicked search, and that was it, nothing came up, it's not in there, you know, there's no truths, it's not a multiple truth, it's singular, so we rightly divide the word of truth by, you know, identifying the identities, basically, is what that means. And it's the, you always see in every setting in Scripture, the remnant seed of God, and then you see the apostate, you see the two-thirds apostate that can be termed the serpents and scorpions, the thorns and thistles, the tares, whatever. And this is really what is the key to unlocking the Scripture in these end times, is the Lord's giving us understanding of these metaphors. And that's what we're going to do here. And I think, you know, we're just waiting on the Lord, and we're not going to push him, you know, because he does kind of, as a need-to-know basis, open this up. But this is absolutely a play-by-play of where we are today, because the Revelation 11:1 is the judgment. You know, this is where the judgment begins. You know, the trumpet judgments are the seven trumpets are the first four are the indictments. They're basically the the evidence and then the last three are the three woes. Woe, 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 it says. And this is the Revelation chapter 11 is an account of the last three trumpets, and it's the time when the Lord basically pulls the file.
And in terms of the proper Red Ring audience, it's very, very, very focused. We'll start with Revelation. Anything else to add, Bill?
No.
Revelations chapter 11, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. Chris?
Well, right there we see the plumb line. We see the Lord measuring his church. And, Amos 7:8, and the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore. And, you know, this is the rod. The rod is the measuring device, like unto the plumb line. The rod is Jesus Christ. And the Lord is saying, okay, it's time. Turn your papers in. You know, we're gonna grade you. And this is basically what's taking place here right now. How I see it.
Bill?
I have nothing to add to that. I feel that's a very good understanding.
And on another application, audience, if you search the scriptures, you find the meaning for a reed and a rod. And a reed is the plant or its stem or that of a similar plant. It could be likened unto, by implication, a pen and a reed. And the rod is a stick or wand, as a cudgel, a cane or a baton of royalty, a rod, a scepter, a staff. An audience, a staff, likened unto as Moses had a staff. And the staff is very, very descriptive in terms of it's part of the Ephesians 6 armor. It's a shoot. It is stick that leaves on or walking, striking, guiding, divining, rod, hand, staff. Now, the measurement inside the temple is you're the temple of our Lord Jesus Christ on one level. And in recognition of this, this is telling you that you were to rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. And those are those who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and that are in covenant, and those that are not. And this measurement is for you to understand that if you're in our Lord Jesus Christ and you're measuring the gospel truths to your generation, you're finding that there's not a lot of people there. And there's not a lot of people in the truth. So this revelation is true in our generation. And in that worship, those are, that's literally to lay prostrate in homage to adore and worship our Lord Jesus Christ. And them that don't are without. Bill, Chris?
Amen. You know, and you know, the altar, you know, what happens on the altar? We offer sacrifice, and this is the spiritual temple of God that's made without human hands. And, you know, the sacrifice on the altar is, what David said in Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. I mean, God will not despise a sacrifice of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And this is who's in the inner court. You know, we're talking about the inner court here, the inner part of the temple.
The Israel of God, spiritually.
This is the Israel
of the poor, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God.
And this is where the Gentiles come in. It says, you know, there's a reference to the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And this is the process of the heathen, the Gentile, you know, comes in to Israel, the Israel of God. And these are the ones who are in the inner court.
The Gentiles are what?
The heathen.
Yes. And it's likened unto audience. They're outside the court. They're being trampled. The measurement in is it's the seed. It is the